We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall, joined once again by Jordan Pollock. And Jordan, the first day of March Madness is in the books. Arizona revenged their 15 seed loss to Princeton last year, beat 15 seed Long Beach State by 20 points yesterday. What were your first thoughts on that game, and how are you today?
Dude, I'm doing great today. Today's my 25th birthday, and I love having my birthday in the middle of, like, March Madness. Like, 2015, I've mentioned the podcast. I went to L.A. to watch the last Elite Eight team that Arizona had. So that was, like, a birthday gift, and I'm just waiting for the next big run we can have to where I can make a birthday present of going to another deep run. But today's great. Day two of the Field of 64. I think a part of me was like had a sigh of relief kind of getting through a game where I felt confident, but especially with like 14, 15 and 16 seeds, there's a part that you just like don't know, you know, like it's like the 12 to 13 seeded range to where you're like, okay, this team is good. We just don't know how good, but with these ladder seeds, you just like don't know, especially with how small the conferences are. And like I've said, there's a lot of conference biasness. Long Beach State went on an awesome run in their conference tournament to make it to the big dance. And so you just like didn't really know how much they had left, if they're going to keep on their kind of run of destiny, which it seemed like they had with all the stuff that was going on. But I just got a huge sigh of relief to at least see a guard. Boswell played great. And I think that's the biggest thing I highlight from this game. And we were texting during the game. Boswell looked poised pretty much from start to finish. He was finding his spots well. He was being aggressive but not careless. He was taking the open shots as they came to him. He wasn't forcing dumb shots in transition every four possessions. And he just played really well. 8 assists. That's a great game from your point guard. I don't think you want much better from him. Shot the ball pretty dang well. 8 of 19 isn't terrible for especially what we've seen of him. 4 of 9 from three is a great medium to have him.
Yeah, well, that's great. Arizona did play great. But first off, happy birday to you. Hope you have a great 25th birthday. And this was an early birthday present. And I hope there's more presents lined up down the line. And Arizona keeps on giving because
Appreciate that, brother.
Yeah, of course. Like you mentioned with Boswell, he was unbelievable in this game, and he's been the X factor for me throughout this season, because when he's played well, it allows everyone else to play well, because you know, on a night like this, to the 20 points like you mentioned, but the 8 assists and the only one turnover, that's the stuff that really takes this offense to another level. And yeah, like you mentioned, he was poised. He also just was like confident. More confident than Kylan seems like he is. Maybe that's because of the level of opponent. Maybe he's just more hungry this time of year. As you know, last time of this year. He was more of a role player on this Arizona team, and now he's one of the stars of this team. And yeah, I've always loved his jump shot. When he's not forcing it, when he's taking it either in transition or something else that I saw from early in the game, is he was moving without the ball. When he would give it to a guy like Love on the wing, he would cut and kind of move to the corner, and that's where he hit one of his threes. So that those are the types of things that are improvements by him in this offense, and I think it's going to allow them to succeed this season. And like I've said all year, and I stand by it, when he plays at that level, he's a top five point guard in the country. On day one, how many players, period, were better than Kylan Boswell? I don't think many. And I wanted to get into as well as Arizona finished and played in the second half. They played just as bad in the first half early on. They missed at one point. I believe I counted six missed layups in a row. And, you know, Long Beach State went on a 10-0 run at one point in the first 10 minutes and just really struggled. What do you think about Arizona's struggles in the first part of this game? And what do you think they can do better? Because when they come out, they have to come out better, as we'll get into in a few minutes, when they play a team like Dayton in the next round or even higher ranked teams, hopefully later in the tournament.
Definitely. And I think a piece of that kind of goes behind Boswell, because I think we've seen a lot of times this team, especially against Oregon, especially against USC in the last few weeks, this team, they play a little sloppy and they get behind in games and the other team gets momentum. They just don't really have the poise to really come up with stops and to get their own runs. And that was something that just like wasn't the case in this game. And I'd say a reason for that was because of the confidence and how poised Boswell was. And everybody else just kind of followed lead, to where a majority of this season, Caleb Love has kind of led a lot of the scoring runs, and everybody just kind of follows with him. And he's had a pretty down last few games, going back to even right before the Pac-12 tournament. And I think that it's just a huge testament to how well Boswell's playing. My head football coach, he uses the term, to much is given, much is required. And I think that sums up a lot with Boswell. He said last year he was just pretty much like a role player, getting spotty bench minutes. This year he was given a starting role. He was given pretty much ball handling control to run through this offense. He was given all that. And it's awesome to see right now he's just starting to put in his requirements of being more confident, being more poised, sharing the ball, taking his shots when they come to him. And him not playing out of control and forcing things himself. He's letting the game come to him. And I think that's one thing that especially in this game, that the team just kind of flowed out of. It's like, okay, we got a guy that's getting buckets and he's letting the game come to him. He's in a natural scoring position. And that's the biggest thing that I saw, especially yesterday from Boswell.
Yeah, another player who stood out to me was Umar Ballo, another double-double. Perfect from the field, only 4 for 4, but made him count 11, 13, and 4 blocks. Also 3 for 4 from the free throw line, which is a little better than he normally is.
Huge.
But something I wanted to point out about Ballo is it kind of was concerning for me because he didn't really get going until the second half. The first half is when I thought they were going to get him going because, like we mentioned a couple days ago, before this game, Long Beach State, what is an undersized team, and they didn't have a player to match up toe-to-toe with Ballo. So I just wanted to – I think that, and not just this game, but in the future, is Ballo and using him and feeding him the ball early and a lot down low, I think that can be a great thing when Arizona's not hitting shots from the outside, or they're not hitting mid-range shots and they can't find offense. I think they got to do a better job of kind of setting that up with, you know, Boswell or Love. They have got Ballo involved, but I think they got to do a better job because, to me, he's the only kind of stable force when everything's going wrong, because that's how this team is. We saw the bad in the first half and we saw the great in the second half. And that's what this Arizona team's been all year. They're streaky shooters. They didn't shoot it particularly well, only 37% from three, 41% from the field overall. But that's what this team needs. They need to find that thing that's stable for this offense to be able to win moving forward. Is there anything else that stood out to you in this game?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I feel like I noticed, I think I remember at least just one time in the whole first half, I think it was around the 9 minute marks when Ballo got a paint touch. And I think that's kind of a hard thing, especially with the makeup of this team compared to last year, to where last year it's let's run. If we can get a layup in transition, let's do it. If not, our half court offense is going to circulate around a paint touch to either Ballo or to Bellis, to where this year there's so many more playmakers that can make plays off the bounce and off the shot that it's kind of hard to pick and choose how many paint touches you're going to make and how many times you're going to try to get Ballo involved per possession. To where the team just, especially when Ballo isn't on the floor, that's not really a super attainable thing for this team to get in a rhythm of, hey, we're going to get two paint touches every four possessions or something like that, if that makes sense. To where you watch a team like Wisconsin who runs a motion offense, they're running back screens, they're getting forward, they're getting guards in the post, and they're going to make post entries to see if they can get a favorable matchup because that's where they want their higher percentage shots coming from, is from the paint. So I think looking forward, I think it probably was a good thing that he wasn't really needed a lot, because I think in the game tomorrow, he's going to put in some overtime work, especially with Deron Holmes and how well he played yesterday for Dayton.
Yeah. Overall, this was a great win, 20 point victory in the first round. Can't ask for much more. For our betting viewers out there, the line was actually Arizona minus 20.5, so they didn't cover that, which is a heartbreaker, as we know. But Arizona still had five players in double figures. Overall, pretty good game, under 10 turnovers. As we mentioned, Boswell was the star of the show. But let's move on, Jordan, and let's talk about their next game in the second round, the round of 32. It's Arizona taking on the Dayton Flyers. And they had quite the comeback against Nevada last night as we're recording this on Thursday night. They went on a 24-4 run to finish the game. They were down a lot. A lot of people wrote them off. And as you mentioned, they're led by Deron Holmes, an incredible big man. He had 18 points in that one. But this matchup between Arizona and Dayton is going to take place at 10:45 local time in Salt Lake City, 9:45 in Arizona, and 12:45 on the East Coast on Friday afternoon. This is, to me,
Saturday, kind, right?
Or Saturday, not Friday.
Yeah.
On Saturday afternoon, as you're right. But this is, to me, kind of a matchup of mixed styles, kind of one in Dayton where they like to slow the game down a lot. They're a really good defensive team, and they as we saw, they only scored 63 points and won 63-60 against Nevada, and I think that's kind of telling. Arizona, on a decent night, scored 85 when they can score way more than that on some nights. So I think that it's kind of defense versus offense, high scoring versus low scoring here. Arizona is right now the favorites at -9.5 in this game. But yeah, how do you see this matchup playing out, and what do you think of it?
The best month of the year is here, which is why you need to know that we are now partnered with BetMGM. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for the listeners and the viewers of the Field of 68 all through the NCAA tournament. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, you can use the bonus code FIELD, and you will get up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM, regardless of whether or not that bet hits. Here's the best part. All you need to do is deposit and bet $10 of your hard-earned money. This is how you make it work. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using the bonus code FIELD. Deposit at least $10 and place your first wager on any game, and you get up to $1,500 in bonus bets, regardless of the outcome of your bet. Just make sure you use that bonus code FIELD when you sign up. Most importantly, we do have some fun stuff coming for the conference tournaments and especially for the NCAA tournament. Bet insurance tokens, college hoops, odds boosts, and what I love the most, a nice parlay boost for anything you could possibly imagine betting on in the NCAA tournament, from odds and getting an at-large bid to Final Four futures to the highest seed to make to the Sweet 16. I'm calling it right now. BetMGM is the king of the prop bet for your March Madness needs. So go download the BetMGM app, use the code FIELD, and sign up today. And while I've got you, a quick request: the best way to support the Field of 68 and our content you get for free is to engage with us. Rate and review the pod, like and share the YouTube videos, tell your friends about us. It helps in a world where the algorithm is king. And now, back to the show.
Yeah, I agree with the competition of style. I also want to talk about Dayton a little bit. Anthony Grant's their head coach. He's a Dayton alumni, played ball there. He's been there since 2017. He took over after Archie Miller, brother of former Arizona coach Sean Miller, left for Indiana job. So he's been there for a few years. It's actually his first NCAA tournament when he got yesterday with Dayton. Dayton's been a pretty dang good program. Him and Archie Miller have had them in a very stable place over the last 10, 15 years. And it's going to be a tough win. Dayton's good. Dayton's good. Like you said, they like to slow it down, and a lot of things they run is through their center and Daron Holmes, and he's a great passer, especially if any of our viewers watched the game yesterday. The second Nevada doubled, he got the ball to somebody that was open, and that created a lot of open shots for Dayton. They shot 42% yesterday from the three-point line. None of them were really wide open, but none of them were really super covered up in hard shots, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that'll be a struggle, I think, defensively for this Arizona team. Though I do think we have a lot better size than Nevada had, to where that's not going to be a huge issue. We're not going to have to double Holmes a lot. That's a thing he'll do. He'll back up somebody into the paint, and he'll take a jump shot outside of that. And so it'll be interesting to see how Umar Ballo can defend, especially his jump shot. He really likes that fadeaway in the post after a post up. And so I think it's going to be a great matchup to watch between those two. You never know. It could just be a who gets a double-double first kind of game into where between the two of them and who can score. And it'll be interesting to see how much we try to utilize Ballo on the offensive end to kind of wear down Holmes again. I just want to stress how well of shooting Dayton was yesterday. They were down 16-17 at one point yesterday in the second half. And they went on a 17-0 run in 5 minutes from the seven-minute mark to the two-minute mark. This team can score very quickly. And so I think a thing with Arizona specifically for this game is they can't get stagnant on offense. They're going to have to continuously sustain runs themselves. They're not going to be able to win this game if they go on major shooting slumps, because Dayton is a very good shooting team. And especially with Kobe Brea, who scored 15 yesterday, 5-8 from three. He was one of the guys that really put them back in that game yesterday when Nevada had a huge lead.
Yeah, he was excellent knockdown shooter, big part of that run that you mentioned that they went on. But besides Holmes and Brea, they really don't have a lot here. You know, they don't have their other starters, Nate Santos, he had the third most points. He had 8 points, seven boards, pretty decent wing, but I just don't think they have, like I said, I know it's offense versus defense, but when you play Arizona, doesn't get held in the 60s a lot. And I'm not saying that Dayton can't make them do it, because Arizona has gotten off to slow starts, like I mentioned even yesterday. Mm-hmm. And but I just think that Arizona is going to, they're to me at least going to score 80 points. And I just think Dayton's going to really struggle, because they went on an incredible run yesterday and they only got to 63. And I do think Daron Holmes, as well as he played, and he's a really great player, great matchup mm-hmm. against mm-hmm. Balo, one of the best big men that he's been matched up with all season at that. But I just think Balo is really, I think if Balo's physical and, you know, with Holmes, I think that he can be successful. And I think if they slow Holmes down, I really think this game could get out of hand, actually. Mm. And I just think that Dayton, they had that big comeback in the second half, but they played very poorly the first half of this game, and then they came back. And yeah, I just think the level of competition is just, I think they're going to find out quickly how different it is, because Nevada, a good team. I thought even they were going to win that game at some points. Who didn't? But I just think Arizona, their guards, and I think are going to wear this Dayton team down. And I think it's going to be close in the first half, but I think Arizona is going to win this one by 10 points. I think they're going to cover the 9.5, actually. I know some people think it could be closer, but I think they're going to cover it. What do you think about this one? How many do you think? What do you think this game is going to be between? And do you think Arizona advances?
Yeah, I completely agree. I think Dayton will play well in the first half, but I think Arizona will be able to cover that spread and win pretty much exactly about the same, about 10 points in the second half. And they'll be able to ride a lead and coast a lead through the game.
Yeah, well, so we're pretty similar on that stance there. Dayton's not going to be an easy matchup by any stretch of the imagination. They mm-hmm. have some warriors on that team, as we know. They're never out of a game. It doesn't matter if a team's up 15, 20. They're going to fight back. The A-10 was really good yesterday. Had a couple teams win along with Duquesne. But, yeah, this game's taking place on Saturday afternoon at 10:45 local time, 12:45 on the East Coast, 9:45 back in Arizona. It's on CBS. And, yeah, for a shot to go to a Sweet 16 for the second Sweet 16 appearance, which would be in the last 3 years, which would be very good for this program. But, Jordan, mm-hmm. before we go today, I wanted to talk about some other big news off the court for Arizona. And that was a big five-star recruit committing to Arizona for the class of 2025, Josan Sanen. He committed for the class of 2025, but then it came out that he's thinking about reclassifying to 2024, which pretty much makes Arizona and sets their roster at 13 players, scholarship players, which we know there could be, and there probably will be some changes in the offseason, and we don't know what that roster is necessarily going to look like. But Jordan, well, I don't know about you, but when I found out this news and I've seen this guy and I've seen some of his clips, this guy looks like an electric playmaker, a really elite shooter, and he looks like a guy that'll fit really good in the for the future of this Arizona team, along with Jamari Phillips and Carter Bryan. And if he plays this year or next year, if he has a big role with guys like Boswell and Lewis. But yeah, what do you think about this recruitment?
Yeah, a huge get. Especially he had UConn in his top picks. I think taking a guy from a team that just won the national championship's huge going forward. We were texting a little bit about possible ideas for the roster construction and what that's going to look like next year. But the one thing that's undoubted, this will be the most amount of freshmen that he really has, at least high power star-studded freshmen, assuming he keeps the five-star upon reclassifying. because who knows, that may change a little bit with his age. But still, having a five-star and 3-4-star is great. You can't really ask for much more than that for a recruiting class, especially with us being right at that nosebeak of being like a blue blood, but like still kind of looking on the outside because we haven't had a Final Four run in the last 15, 20 years. But it'll be really interesting to see how the roster construction is. And we're talking about Coach Cal and how his rosters are pretty much just littered with freshmen, and they've had a lot of struggles lately. And Tommy Lloyd over the last 3 years has done a really good job of bringing in transfers, having a freshman or two that's going to be an impact guy off the bench while still keeping your core. And so it could look a lot different next year with this roster. But at the same time, it's awesome right now to see kind of the younger guys and how well they're playing in their roles, especially off the bench with Jaden Bradley and KJ Lewis and Mo Krivas, especially assuming that Umar Ballo doesn't use his final year and goes off to the next level.
Yeah, I think this is kind of just expected at this point, because when you have guys like Pella Larson and you have guys like Umar Ballo, the main two pieces that have been in this Arizona program for a lot of years at this point, and then you have veterans like Keyshawn Johnson and you have Caleb Love, and then even in the past couple of years you have Tabellis, who was here for a couple of years, and Mathurin. And when you have these guys that developed here for a year or two and then they leave, and even longer with Larson and Ballo, I think that's just how it goes. That's the circle of developing a roster, because those guys are gone, and now Tommy, it's his job to develop the next set of Arizona, you know, great players here. And yeah, they're not all gonna pan out, as we know, with recruits, but they have a ton of talent. And even next year, as we were talking about it, if the main three young guys come back, and I'm talking about Kylan Boswell, Jaden Bradley, and KJ Lewis, those three have shown that they've gained a lot of valuable experience this year. Hopefully they're going to have a couple more games of valuable experience this season. And then taking that in the next season, that's just another year of growth. So I think Arizona is not just going to be a team, you know, full of, you know, first year players like a Kentucky, but I think Tommy's done an incredible job of molding the two timelines of, you know, young players, veterans, transfers. He's doing a great job of building this program, and that's why I said I don't think the roster's set. We don't know if you know, a guy or two will transfer on the bench, like a Phillip, who hasn't played a lot in this year, and then, you know, the big situation with Henry Visar and Dylan Anderson and Mo Krivas, is all three of those guys going to stay? We don't know any of that stuff now, but I just think overall the future looks really bright for Arizona basketball. And I think this is the best that this program's been in since Sean Miller had it running in his last couple of years at Arizona, because there was a time there when he left, it was an unknown and uncertainty. And I think the youth has been restored for this program.
Yeah. And completely agree. And especially the mixture of youth and experience. I feel like those two elite eight teams that Sean Miller had, they were led by juniors and sophomores, while having some star freshmen that were starters on those teams, like Aaron Gordon and Stanley Johnson. Those were really the only freshmen that were starting on those teams. Like, the guys that were leading the games were a majority of older guys that have been in the program and were developing. So it's awesome, especially right now, and just the nature we have of college basketball, to where your roster and just rosters everywhere, there's so much parity between the idea of guys entering the transfer portal, pulling guys out, NIL, and recruiting on top of it. And so right now we have a master, in a sense, that uses all three very well. And like I just said, Coach Cal, he's the big five-star freshman. Just get freshmen, just get one and dones. And he's kind of being put on the hot seat right now for for the lack of performance that they've been able to put on in March with just freshmen over the last few seasons. And that's also probably a big critique that people have over college basketball, because all the older coaches have left because they've seen this huge entity of NIL come out, and now there's not really any sanctions behind it. But I just, like, as a fan, like, the parity is amazing right now in college basketball. And maybe you as a fan, you want Kansas, Duke, Kentucky, and North Carolina in the Final Four every single year. I personally don't. I loved last year having San Diego State, Miami, and FAU in the Final Four. I thought that was awesome. And I think there's going to be a lot more likely chances of that happening, especially going forward. And with the new era of just that, the nature of college athletics right now, I think it's awesome. I love it too.
And one of my last points about this is that I think that in the next couple years, it will kind of return to normal before COVID. And obviously NIL is a huge part of this now and this new generation of college sports. But also, you got to realize, when guys are given an extra year and they're giving some of these guys a fifth, a sixth, a seventh year, that's just makes it, as Cal said last night after their game, they're playing against guys that are some teams 23, 24, 25-year-old average age of teams, and they're 18 or 19. So I think that'll kind of return to, you know, the normal in the next couple years. But yeah, I think overall, Tommy has done a perfect job up until this point in his first 3 years. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in to today's episode of Bear Down Ballers here on the Field of 68. I'm Ryan Wall. He's Jordan Pollock. You can follow us on X at Bear Down AZ Pod. Follow the Field of 68, and we'll see you next time.